Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A note to listeners before we begin. Today's episode deals with a string of attacks and ultimately a murder in Washington, D.C. In light of the recent domestic terror attacks on our Capitol, we want to offer this trigger warning and note that we do not condone the events in this episode or on January 6th, 2021. Hello again, Dead Time Storians. I'm so happy to be back with you in 2021, right after last week's historic inauguration. I've been thinking a lot about Washington, D.C. lately. I've only been one time when I was a toddler and honestly missed the whole point. There are three things that I remember. The first is that when we took the metro, my dad always requested the orange train, to which my sisters and I told him he said orange wrong. At the Korean War Veterans Memorial, my sister told me that their heads move at night and they'll chase me down if I'm bad. Finally, when we went to the Marine Corps War Memorial, which, as you'll remember, is the one of all the soldiers raising the American flag, I tried to spot the hidden door in one soldier's leg, which allegedly led to a room of workers inside the statue. When I looked up what exactly that is, I didn't find anything, so I don't know who, if anyone, told me about this little door or what the origins behind it are. If anyone knows this conspiracy theory, please tell me on social media. Thank you. One place we did not visit while in the Capitol was Rock Creek Park. I had no way of knowing this at the time, but roughly 5 years later, the 1,754-acre park would become the host of a string of terrifying crimes on young women. On May 14th, 2001, 30-year-old Hallie Schilling ran through the park while her yellow Walkman blasted in her ear. For my Gen Zers, a Walkman is an early portable cassette player, and a cassette is post-records and pre-music streamers. As the rider jetted across the parking lot, she vaguely noticed a young Hispanic man sitting on the curb and kept running onto a trail with a somewhat steep incline. She didn't realize it right away, but this man took off after her. Hallie's heart beat faster as the runner mimicked her pace, whether she sped up or slowed down.
Maybe he wants to pass.
Hallie stepped aside so the man could pass her, but her fears came to life when he leapt onto her back. The man grunted as he gripped her throat. Cars caught in rush hour roared on the streets below, drowning out Hallie's shrieks as the man drew a knife. What the assailant didn't take into account, however, was Hallie's self-defense classes. She shoved a hand into his mouth and dug her nails into the flesh under his tongue. He let go, but not before giving her a bite. Hallie managed to get away and contacted the park police.
Yes, officer, I don't think he was going to rob me because he never tried to get my jewelry or Walkman. He was going to rape and kill me.
Hallie Schilling had no idea that this was the beginning of one of America's craziest tales of murder. Welcome to Dead Time Stories.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Two women looked up at the giant Roman columns outside the Rayburn House office building on Capitol Hill. One of them had a head of bushy brown hair, freckles, and a friendly smile. Her friend sighed.
Come on, Chandra. I want to grab lunch. Is this going to take all day?
No, Jenny. I want to stop inside to see if we could talk with Congressman Condit. But you know his aide is going to say he's busy.
As if interning for the mayor of Los Angeles wasn't enough for you. Are you really that worried about not getting a job after graduation?
You can never be too careful. Besides, if I want to work for the FBI, I need to know powerful people. There's his office. I promise it'll just be a sec.
Oh! Good afternoon, ladies.
Congressman Condit?
Yes, ma'am. Can I help you?
Oh my god, he looks just like Harrison Ford.
I don't quite see that, but Gary Condit was handsome, with a perfectly straight smile and carefully combed gray hair.
Well, ladies?
I wanted to talk to you about...
We've been interning all semester, and we wanted to set up a lunch date with you, Mr. Condit.
Well, I'm not busy today. If you want, I could show you around.
Chandra and her friend were speechless. I mean, it's not every day your hometown representative shows you around Washington, D.C.
That the original president's desk was...
Gary Condit was a unique representative, too. He was one of the few Democrats who encouraged Bill Clinton to be honest about his affair with Monica Lewinsky just a few years earlier. He grew up the son of a Baptist preacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, lived a rebellious life as a teenager, then met and married Carolyn Barry in 1967. He moved to Ceres, California, where he became the mayor at just 26 years old. By 35, he was a state assemblyman and was elected to Congress at 41. People loved him because he was an all-American boy who never forgot where he came from.
Yeah, history is pretty cool, girls. Oh! Smile, ladies. We'll take a picture to commemorate today. Chandra, you mentioned you're still wrapping up your internship with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, but Jennifer, how'd you like to come work for me?
Oh, I'd love that, Mr. Condit.
And Chandra, here's my phone number. Don't hesitate to reach out if you need any advice. I think you have a great career ahead of you.
Thank you, Mr. Condit. Oh my gosh, did you see that? He winked at me.
Oh, please. He was just being nice. He's not, like, in love with you.
Sorry, Sergeant.
I've never been this excited to have such a sexy young woman walk into my office.
Please, Gary. The pleasure was mine.
Chandra and Gary gently kissed as a movie played on HBO and two bowls of pasta steamed on the table. It seemed Jennifer was wrong and Gary was actually quite interested in Chandra. Though he still has done all but admit it, the two began having an affair not long after he gave her the tour. By Thanksgiving of 2000, Chandra was stopping by his apartment up to three times a week.
You want to spend the night? Might be too dangerous to go home now. You haven't told anyone about us, right?
No, Gary. Jennifer keeps asking where I'm going all the time. I told her an FBI agent doesn't reveal where he goes.
Good girl. I have an early meeting tomorrow, so we could leave together, but if anyone gets in the elevator before we reach the lobby, you need to get off at the next floor.
Aye, aye, sir.
And that's how their relationship ran. Gary never allowed Chandra to appear with him. Of course, nobody could keep something this exciting secret for long, and Chandra eventually confided in her aunt about the relationship.
Gary's the sweetest man, Aunt Linda. He loves Baskin Robbins and gave me the most beautiful gold bracelet.
And his wife?
Oh, we have a 5-year plan. Gary promised that after 5 years, he'll leave his wife for me so long as we keep our relationship under wraps. Oh, but I just had to tell you.
That all sounds wonderful, dear, but be careful. Your parents and I want to watch you graduate.
Metro PD.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Levy. My daughter Chandra is an intern with the Federal Bureau of Police and was supposed to be home for her graduation, but I haven't heard from her in 5 days.
It was May 6th, and Chandra's parents, Robert and Susan, nervously paced their California home.
I understand your concerns, sir. I'll put together a team to investigate.
Oh, they don't understand how serious this is, Robert. We have to dig into this ourselves. Who was she talking to last?
The Levys pulled up Chandra's phone bill and noticed that one number popped up over and over. Robert dialed.
You've reached the congressional office of Gary Condit.
I don't believe it.
Call his home number. I'm sure it's in the phone book. Here it is.
Robert first got a hold of Gary's wife, who promised to relay the message to her husband. An hour later, Gary returned.
Hello, Mr. Condit. My name is Robert Levy, Chandra's father. She's an intern in D.C., but she's been missing for a few days. Can you help us at all?
I think Chandra was a friend of one of my old interns. Let me see if I can talk with police. I'll start a reward fund for her, too.
Thank you, Mr. Condit.
Honey, Linda mentioned something to me about Gary. I think he was dating Chandra.
What? The detectives need to know.
The next day, Robert called Detective Ralph Durant, the man assigned to their daughter's case, and her Aunt Linda called the day after to confirm what Chandra had told her. Detective Durant readjusted his ponytail and sighed. Even though he had spent 33 years with Metro PD, he was used to working with drunks and petty thieves, and not possible homicides.
Detective Durant.
Good afternoon, Detective. This is Gary Condit returning your call. Chandra often came to me for career advice, but I haven't heard from her in about a week. Last time we spoke, she seemed happy.
Did you have an intimate relationship with Miss Levy?
I don't think we need to go there, and you can infer what you want with that. Am I a suspect, Detective?
No, sir. We'll call if we need anything else. Ah, my search warrant for her apartment arrived.
Yes, sir.
Here's a unit, officers.
Thank you.
The detectives fanned out and were surprised when they found Chandra's credit cards, ID, a cell phone inside of her purse, and partially packed suitcases for her return home.
She obviously left in a hurry, if her ID's still here.
You have 25 new messages.
It's 11:45. Sorry, I've been tied up the last few days. So, give me a call. Give me a rundown on kind of what your schedule is. Things are looking pretty good for me today.
Wait a
hey,
second.
Hey, Ladybug. Can't
Who's
wait
that?
For big graduation. Call us soon.
It's 6:30. I haven't heard from you. Anyway, give me a call.
End of messages.
There's no mistake who that is, but why is Gary Condit calling Chandra so much?
Sir, we found a pair of black underwear with semen stains.
Bag them up for testing.
Whoa, shit. I guess I messed that one up.
The technician awkwardly held up Chandra's blue laptop.
I was trying to go through her search history, and I might have accidentally deleted everything? What?
Oh.
Oh, yes, that actually happened. All of Chandra's emails and search history were totally wiped because a man who was not skilled with computers tried to conduct the search. More on that later. Early on in those summer months, everyone started to feel the pressure. Gary Condit, who built himself up as a small-town hero, was losing popularity in his home district as people demanded to know what he did to Chandra. It didn't help that he denied having an affair with the intern while Chandra's aunt Linda was telling police and the media what her niece told her about the relationship. In addition, women like Anne Marie Smith, a flight attendant, were coming forward about their affairs with the congressman. Gary became furious with police, because it was now clear they were leaking details of his private conversations with them to the media. Gary wanted to clear his name once and for all, so against his better judgment, met with detectives on June 23rd.
Can you tell us what you were doing in the week leading up to Chandra's disappearance?
On April 28th, I rode my bike to the gym. I spent the next day with my wife, but called Chandra around noon. The day Chandra vanished, I was meeting with Vice President Dick Cheney, and we discussed energy policy. Look, fellas, I gave you any useful information I had at our first meeting. I have nothing to do with this.
But there's nothing juicier than a political scandal, right? And any tips detectives received weren't helpful. People claimed all kinds of things, from Chandra being pregnant and dying from a failed abortion, to Chandra dying during a suicide bombing in Israel. Though detectives looked into plausible leads, nothing checked out. They needed her computer search history, or Congressman Condit, to admit that he had an affair.
Look, Congressman, I want to clear you from this thing, which is why I want your DNA sample. If it doesn't match the semen on her panties, then we know she was seeing someone else who might have hurt her. So will you please meet me behind the Safeway tonight at 10?
Gary, his lawyer, and Detective Durant met behind the grocery store on July 9th. Nobody said a word, as Gary's mouth was swabbed and the sample was sent to Quantico.
Detective Durant?
Uh-huh.
So the panty semen matches Gary. Excellent. Let's get a search warrant for this fucker's home.
Okay, babe. Ready?
About a week before the saliva test on July 1st, Christy Wiegand popped on her Walkman as her and her fiancé prepared for a run through Rock Creek Park.
Were you gonna leave me behind again?
Come on. You're telling me a Princeton varsity rower only has upper arm strength? I'll race you to the top of the hill.
You're on.
The couple was 7 weeks away from their wedding and began their usual jog around 7:30 p.m. Christy shook her head but smiled as her fiancé pulled ahead. She pressed on at a comfortable pace until suddenly someone's arms were wrapped around her neck. A Hispanic man pulled her down into a ravine and drew his knife. As Christy screamed, he covered her mouth and held the knife to her throat.
Shut up!
Christy obeyed, but her mind was racing. She stopped struggling, so the attacker relaxed a little. But then... Seeing she wasn't going to be an easy target, the man ran into the woods and allowed Christy to get to the park police.
Yes, officer, he was a Hispanic man in a white tank top, longer black shorts and sneakers.
Don't worry, young lady. We'll find him. And you.
He looked at her fiancé.
Don't leave your girlfriend alone at night.
Yes, sir.
Police scanned the park for the next 45 minutes until they spotted the attacker by a golf course. He was locked up until early the next morning when Joe Green and his team entered the cell with a translator.
Can I get you anything to eat?
The man shook his head.
What's your name, son?
Ingmar Guandique.
You attack anyone tonight, Ingmar? Ingmar?
No.
Maybe you bumped into them and they thought you were attacking them.
Yeah. That's it. I was running, and then my knee started to hurt. So I bent down and to look at it, and this lady bumped into me, and we fell. I wanted to help her out, but she didn't understand and screamed.
She said you had a knife.
No. My bracelet must have reflected the sun, and she assumed.
Uh-huh. And did you attack any other young ladies?
Nah, never.
Maybe you accidentally bumped into someone else.
Oh, yeah. There was this other girl with a yellow Walkman. She turned as I was running and lost her balance. I tried to help her out, too, but she screamed and ran away.
Thank you very much, Mr. Grandique. Oh, and one more thing. Have you seen this young lady before?
He sat down Chandra's photo.
Oh, yeah. She was in a parking lot by Pierce Mill. She's fine.
Having now attached himself to the two park attacks, Ingmar was charged with assault and kidnapping Christy, but Hallie Schilling would need to see a photo lineup and ID Ingmar before he could be charged for that attack. And as for Chandra, Joe put it in his report, but never told any other officers or Metro PD.
It's not important to this case.
That's fair, I suppose, though one of many errors in this story. And speaking of errors, let's check back in on Chandra's computer.
Okay, after a month of waiting, here's what we have. Chandra logged on at 10:27 a.m. She visited Gary Condit's website, Southwest Airlines, a weather report, and finally Rock Creek Park.
Maybe she was meeting Gary at the Pierce Klingel Mansion. It's a good spot for that.
We don't know if she was meeting Gary because we didn't get her apartment security footage. It could have been anybody or nobody. Let's search the park, having the team look within 100 yards of every road and trail.
100 yards off of every road. You got it.
Three sergeants and 28 cadets searched along Glover Road and nearly half the park on July 25th, but found nothing. The case was starting to get out of hand. Gary was working to clean up his image after outlets said he purposely hindered investigations. He nervously sat down with Connie Chung on ABC's Primetime Thursday, and after the usual questions, she threw him a curveball. Did he kill Chandra Levy? The answer was no, but the entire interview was incredibly awkward for both him and Connie, and none of the 24 million viewers' opinions really changed.
Oh, golly. When will this nightmare end?
Good Morning America was in progress in the East Coast and the Midwest, but we're joined by the entire network just to show you some pictures at the foot of New York City. This is at the World Trade Center. Obviously a major fire there, and there has been...
Just when Gary Condit thought the spotlight would never get off of him, two planes hit the World Trade Centers on September 11th. The world and police turned their attention to the Middle East. It seems Chandra Levy's murder would be put on the back burner for now. As the world was looking to New York, an inmate named Armando Morales was looking at his lawyer.
You said you have information on Chandra Levy?
Yeah, man. My boy Ingmar, we've been working out, you know? Last month he said, yo, Armando, something's eating me up inside. That woman Chandra, I killed her, bro, because Gary Condon gave me $25,000 to do it. I didn't know who Gary was till I seen his face on the news.
My God, how'd he do it?
Oh man, he got high as fuck. Gary told him she was always in the park, so he jumps her, stabbed her in the stomach, and covered her up.
And the money?
Sent it back to his broke-ass family in El Salvador, man.
Armando, if he told you this a month ago, why are you sharing this now?
I don't know, man. I saw her family on the news, and I felt bad for them.
Thanks, Armando. I'll tell the authorities, but they'll probably make you take a polygraph test.
Shit. Bring it.
The authorities weren't quite sure what to make of all of this, but they knew they'd need to talk with both Armando and Ingmar.
Ingmar probably made the part about Gary up. Wanted to look like a big man in prison.
I'll get to the bottom of it. Hello, Armando. I understand you aren't fluent in English. So this woman
will translate for you. Is that okay?
Sí, mal parido.
The test proceeded smoothly until...
Did Igmar tell you he stabbed Chandra Levy?
Yes.
Did Igmar tell you he received $25,000 from Gary Condit?
Yes.
The results of those final two questions seemed to be lies. Igmar was brought in on February 4th, 2002.
Were you involved or did you cause Chandra Levy's disappearance?
No.
The results were inconclusive, most likely because he too was given a translator, so the answers were not in sync with the questions. It's not a perfect science. Detectives didn't press into Igmar again, and after pleading guilty to the attacks on Hallie and Christy, Igmar was sentenced to 10 years.
What the Sam Hill is that?
Phil Palmer was out on his usual hike through Rock Creek Park with his dog. It was May 22, 2002, over a year after Chandra went missing. As Phil got closer to the round white object, he realized it was not the usual animal bone or turtle shell he was used to coming across and ran to a payphone.
Metro PD.
Yeah, hi. My name is Phil Palmer. I was walking my dog in the woods this morning and I came across a human skull.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I don't know anything else that looks like it.
Detectives roped off the area and found sunglasses, an inside-out USC t-shirt, leggings with the legs tied in knots, tennis shoes, and other bones. Detectives stormed into medical examiner Jonathan Arden's work area.
Well, is it hurt?
The dental records are a match. There's less to work with here than I'd like. It's possible we'll never know specifically how she died. It's damage to her hyoid bone, and enough evidence to say she was murdered. My guess is someone strangled Chandra.
The Levy family held a memorial for their daughter, but wanted more answers. Police Chief Ramses scratched his head as Robert Levy scowled.
How in the hell did your team miss my daughter? She was just 79 yards off the trail.
Well, sir, there, seems to have been a slight misunderstanding. The team only searched within 100 yards of the road, even though we said roads and trails.
It's still unclear how they fucked that up, but they did. The Levy family wasn't so trusting of Metro PD anymore, so hired their own team of investigators to search the area on June 6, 2002, and they found more bones the police had missed. Not wanting to look foolish, Metro PD suggested,
It was probably wildlife moving it around, or maybe Phil Palmer brought it back after realizing it was human. But we didn't miss it.
Phil Palmer confessed on tape that this was not the case. To try and set things right, Dr. Kim Rosmo, a geographic profiler and director of research, was brought in to look at the murder and layout of the park.
Look, attacks here aren't too common. Igmar lived on the outskirts of the park at the time and didn't go into work the day Chandra disappeared. Hallie and Christine were attacked within a relatively short span of time, and miraculously, the attack stopped after Igmar was put away. It wouldn't surprise me if Chandra was his first unlucky victim.
Though logical, investigators didn't feel they could say Igmar did it beyond a reasonable doubt, and the case once again went cold. Fast forward to 2008, when the Washington Post prints a series of articles examining the case. They tore the story apart, and perhaps for the first time, pointed to Igmar as the suspect. The public now clearly saw all the blunders in this case. And the police? Well, they didn't want their image stained, so started to look at Igmar a bit closer.
Hello, Igmar. My name's Amanda Haynes. Can I talk to you about Chandra Levy?
Amanda Haynes, the senior homicide prosecutor, was known for telling great stories for the jury. When the team visited Ingmar in prison, they immediately noticed that he had a magazine photograph of the victim and a tattoo that suspiciously resembled her as well. Seeing this and Armando's testimony as enough evidence, they set a trial for October 18th, 2010. The courtroom was packed with eager spectators. Here was the problem. This case was about a decade old, and the prosecution had no DNA evidence or even a cause of death.
I'd like to call Gary Condit to the stand, please.
This was so the defense couldn't list him as a suspect.
Mr. Condit, can you tell us about your relationship with Ms. Levy?
Chandra and I were friendly. I was her mentor, but had nothing to do with her disappearance.
And did you two have an affair?
I fail to see what that has to do with this case. And you, sir, have nothing that can frame me. Are we done here?
Yes. No further questions.
It wasn't the juicy story everyone wanted, but I'm sure Gary Condit was eager to get the hell out of that court. The lawyers called forth both runners, Christy and Hallie, who told an emotional story about Ingmar's attack on them. Then Armando was called to the stand. He certainly didn't look like a hardened criminal in his glasses.
Yes, I was a gang leader, but prison changed me. Ingmar was my bro and told me everything. He was an addict and needed money quick, so he jumped Chandra. He got the cash and left her unconscious, but he had no idea she was gonna die.
The jury hung on to Armando's every word, and after 10 days of testimony, were sent away to deliberate. 3.5 days later, they returned.
Your Honor, on the count of murder in the first degree, we find Ingmar Guandique guilty.
As soon as he heard the news from his translator, Ingmar tossed his headphones down in frustration, while the Levys clutched each other in sad relief. Their daughter's case was finally closed, even if she would never return. And surprisingly, that's not the end of our story. Meet Babs Prawler, a background actress.
Oh my god, buddy! Someone help! My dog is stuck in the door!
Hang on, I got you.
Thank you. You must love dogs.
Nah, just love being a hero for a fine female like you. Phoenix Morales.
Babs Prawler. Could I get you a drink or something? As a thank you.
Babs, who was staying at a hotel after her recent divorce, was attracted to this bad boy that we've come to know as the informant Armando Morales. The two saw a lot of each other over the next few days, and Babs grew cautious.
Yeah, man, fuck. I was locked up for a hella long time and learned a bunch of shit, like how to make a shank out of fucking styrofoam cups to stab someone in the eye.
Oh my. Well, that's interesting.
I put most of that behind me, but this dude who stole your jewelry? That's fucked up, man. I'll kill him for you if you want.
For her own safety, Bab started to record her conversations with him. That's when he shared something interesting that she had to share with Susan Levy, the Washington Post, and authorities.
Yes, he said on the recordings that he testified in the Guandique hearing but made the whole story up so he'd get less prison time. I'll share the audio with you now.
Though they never hear Armando say this, a deeper dive into his past showed that he was not the most credible source and perjured himself on the stand when he said he had never been an informant before. A new trial was set for March 2016. The defense planned to frame Gary Condit, with past girlfriends testifying about his obsession with bondage. The prosecution, however, having their star witness thrown out the window, announced,
Your Honor, we no longer wish to proceed with this trial. Instead, we'd like to seek to deport Ingmar back to El Salvador because he's here illegally.
And with that, the case returned to square one. Chandra Levy's murder officially remains unsolved, and honestly, that's only one of the sad parts to this story. Gary Condit obviously did not win his bid for re-election, and his political career was shot. He went on to own a Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor, but has since quit. The Levy family hated Babs for coming forward because they didn't think she had any reason to, other than to get a few minutes of fame. Ingmar Gwandike was deported in May 2017. And I should mention that since the conviction was vacated and charges dropped, he could still be charged under a new judge and jury. Like so many others, he maintains that he's innocent. To be honest, this whole story makes me so sick. Yes, Gary Condit was obviously wrong for having an affair, but for God's sake, why must we still live in such a Puritan society that we derail an entire investigation to look at a man's sex life? I'll feel like a damn fool if he is later found guilty of Chandra's murder, but as of now, there was never any evidence linking him to it. Oh, and if you think having an affair means someone's getting murdered, then fuck, I have bad news for you, because we'd have a lot more murders on our hands if that was the case. I am very thankful to the Washington Post for pointing out all the blunders in this investigation, and would like to ask the Park Police why they failed to mention anything to Metro PD about Ingmar recognizing Chandra when he was shown her picture after being arrested for the jogger attacks. Ranger Joe said he didn't think it was important since he was just trying to solve Hallie's attack. But if that was the case, why'd you show him the pictures in the first place? I mean, clearly it was somewhat important. Perhaps if everybody involved with this case wasn't so fucking absent-minded, the murder of Chandra Levy would be solved.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman was written and narrated by me, Skylar Fastenow, and executive produced by Daniel Jones. Our voice talent was provided by Rainey Blake, Vince Perez, Marissa Pistone, Jeanette Zosh, Jordan Catcher, Ariel Dale, Daniel Jones, Matt McNelly, Walker Barnes, Jeremy Staple, Shatara Irwin, and Alan Anthony Morion. Our beautiful theme song was written and performed by Tracy Zales. Thank you, as always, for joining us for another episode of the original Dead Time Stories. People have asked me how they can help our show, and the best way is to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcasting app. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive goodies or follow us on social media at the original Dead Time Stories, and the links for all of those are in the episode description. As a reminder, we will be back in 1 week with an episode sure to get your toes a-tapping. Until then, stay safe out there. I don't want you to become the next chapter's topic on the original Dead Time Stories.